This is Madhouse, a podcast on a mission to tell stories of how creators in Africa get things done. I'm your host, Gabriel Mundaka. Today's episode is produced by Box Studios in Kampala and is bound to leave you inspired. We're immensely grateful for your unwavering support as we continue our mission of bringing truly inspiring stories. It fills our hearts with gratitude to announce that Madhouse is now blessed with the invaluable support of Mayuyuka Kawunda, a gifted editor, writer of compelling copy and stories, an extraordinary music creator and playlister. Please share and leave a review on your favorite podcast application as this helps us get discovered and inspires a wider audience. If you want to do more, you can donate to us. Your donations help us tell more stories of limitless possibilities. For more details, please check the show notes. Let's dive in into another exciting episode of Madhouse. In this episode of Madhouse, I had a lovely conversation with Bizo Sequoia from The Plug. We talk about friendship, business, failure, all the exciting things that happen as we're trying to build The Plug. I hope you enjoy the episode and be inspired. Bye.
So I was saying, thanks for being a guest on the podcast. I was wondering, just to get right into it, could you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, what you do.
Hi, my name is Bizo Sequoia. I'm the co-founder of entertainment company based out of Lagos, Nigeria. It's called The Plug Entertainment. It's founded by me and my partner, Issa Sika. And then we have a third partner who we brought on board as a managing partner. His name is Toby Mohammed.
Yeah, so I wanted to know how it's all started. Like, how did you get into entertainment? But also, I just want to know how, you know, as a child growing up, were you like into like entertainment and things like that, but like what really made you who you are now and what you're doing?
Well, growing up, I used to love music a lot. Like me and my family, my dad had loads of records. My, you know, growing up, my sisters, I'm the only boy, I'm the youngest, and my sisters used to buy loads of CDs.
Okay.
And, you know, I grew up in a music household where everyone loves music, you know, so for me, music was a no-brainer. But, you know, before I chose the path in entertainment, I always wanted to be a soldier.
Ah, wow.
You know, but,
okay.
Yeah, so, but I don't know why for some reason that changed. When I went to school, you know, when I went to school in England, I just fell in love more with music and I ended up doing music business in school.
Oh, nice.
So I did music business in school, and then from there, my love for music just grew, and the entertainment, you know, I started to enjoy the African music because I was living in England, and I saw how, like, you know, the Caribbean music was everywhere. You go to the club, you hear Caribbean music, but you don't really hear African music. So for me, I said, look, this music is great, and I know you can get somewhere. So I started coming to Nigeria, I would get CDs from artists. Like back then, artists used to put their music videos on something called video CD.
VCDs.
So I'll rip.
Oh, I remember those.
Yes, so I'll rip the videos from the VCD and upload to my Facebook page.
Okay.
So people in diaspora can see the videos because, you know, then there was not really YouTube or anything.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So people used to watch the videos on my Facebook before YouTube. And then from there, I started, you know, then things like MySpace came. Then I started using MySpace. I was helping Nigerian artists create MySpace pages. And then I would find a way to contact them and give them the password, tell them that MySpace is the thing of the Western world. You guys need to get on
this. Nice.
You know, and from there, you know, just started developing a love. Then big shout out to an artist from Nigeria called Sasha P.
Nice.
She was friends with my brother-in-law.
Okay.
So, you know, she reached out to me and, you know, she was like, yeah, she wants to connect me with Don Jazzy.
Ah, nice.
That Don Jazzy is looking for someone to help him, you know, like with his MySpace page.
Okay, nice.
You know, and then, you know, that's how I met Don Jazzy.
Oh, nice.
And then from there, you know, it was that was where I really got into the industry. And I just started going, I started meeting people, you know, uploading stuff on my Facebook. At first people didn't know what I looked like because I had no pictures. It just used to be uploading music, videos, and pictures and stuff. You know, and then moving on, I started working and like doing that. And then I met somebody online called Obi Asika, who is like a legend in the Nigerian entertainment space. Yeah. So I met him online and we got talking. I used to always keep in touch with him. So one day I reached out to him and said, look, I'm looking to move back to Nigeria. Yeah. You know, I would love to work for your company and everything. And he offered me a job straight away.
Yeah.
So I moved back to Nigeria. I started working with Storm Records.
Yeah.
I was helping them with digital and I was also an A2C's road manager.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I was that. And then going on from there, I met more people in the industry.
Yes.
And I moved from working at Storm to work at Mohit Records with the band and the whole crew.
Yeah.
You know, for, and I worked with them till when they broke up and the band of Don Jazzy went their separate ways. Yeah. So I started working with Maven, which was Don Jazzy's label.
Yes.
So yeah, that's pretty much my early days of the journey.
Nice, nice. I'm very curious, how long did you know, okay, this is just based on some stories I've had from other friends within the space, how long did you know Asa as a friend? Because
So Obi Asika is Asa's uncle.
Yes, I've heard that he is.
So when I was working for Obi Asika, Asa was in high school.
Ah, nice.
So I used to know Asa. I used to always like, you know, I took Asa like a little brother, and I used to always just like be with him.
Ah, nice.
And you know, we used to always go out together and stuff.
Yeah. Why I asked is because like I was very curious about friendship and business, because I know like the stories I've heard from Asa, most of the people he's in business with are his good friends. And I was very curious about how you guys navigate friendship and business. I thought it was a very interesting thing to talk about, because many people are like, you don't mix friends and business.
To be honest, you don't mix friends and business 100%. But to be honest, I say to people, when you understand your friend, you know, it becomes easy, because then you don't let the business get in the way. And for someone like me and Asa, it's like we don't let money get in the way of things.
Nice. Okay.
So if you know people that let money get in the way, money has never been a thing to for me and Asa's friendship.
Ah, nice.
You know, so like as we, there's no like someone taking a bigger share or bigger cost. Like we, you know, we share money equally.
Nice.
And we're very transparent with each other in the business. So that's why.
That's cool. That's very interesting. Are there any challenges that you guys have faced, and how do you navigate them usually as friends? I'm very curious.
Oh yeah, obviously there's so many challenges. Yeah. Obviously, like, you know, there's challenges of obviously friends when you get into business at first. You know, you feel like one person is pulling more weight than the other person.
I can imagine. Yeah,
all those kind of little challenges. You know, then also challenges like us hiring the right competent staff, us, you know, having proper accounting of our books.
Yeah.
You know, we just used to take money from the accounts. You know, we ain't really accounting for it or stuff like that. You know, so it took us a while for us to learn that, look, this is actually business money.
Yeah.
We need to pay ourselves salaries. We need to do this. We need to do that.
Nice.
And then, you know, that's what helped us to now shape up and realize that, look, we're learning from our mistakes as we're growing.
Yeah.
I mean, our company is 7 years deep, and you know, we've had a lot of mistakes, we've had a lot of ups and downs, but you know, we're still standing, and that's the most important thing.
Nice. I'm just going back to friends. How did I know the plug is a merge between Asa's, I think Asa had
Asa's company, Stargate,
and then yours, B Entertainment.
Yeah,
I'm just curious about how did that begin, and then what was the merging like? And then when did you agree? Like,
so I mean, me and Asa, we used to always do like we used to host when he had Stargaze and I had my thing.
Yeah.
I was working with Maven, so we used to host nights and clubs.
Okay, nice.
We used to host parties and clubs every Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
So from there, we already started a business relationship even before we had our company.
Cool.
So we're hosting nights and clubs, and then when this happened, it was a no-brainer because we already had. You know, we already built a relationship working wise. So it wasn't anything too crazy.
You just naturally, like, I guess, like, just went into it and like,
exactly.
And like, just became like, let's just do this thing while wasting time. So, what are the early days of the plug? I know you guys are doing some very interesting things these days, but like,
so in the early days, like, our first major gig was us doing the Davido Francophone Africa tour.
Okay.
You know, that was the first gig we got at the Plug.
Nice.
And then after that, you know, we started working with DJs. We signed DJ OB, okay. Smalls the DJ, to manage them. Okay. And for a while, what we just did was, those guys were managing, and then we're also consulting and doing a lot of marketing for people.
Okay.
Then slowly on, we partnered with the person who's our top partner now, Toby. Yeah. He had an event called Block Party,
okay.
The mainland Block Party. Okay. So we partnered with him, and we're doing that event, and we're doing managing the DJs.
Nice.
And, you know, doing little events here and there. And then we're building the company, you know, slowly and shortly, yeah, till we started getting more clients. Then we brought on Jimmy Abdul's, an artist called Jimmy Abdul's. Yeah. Then we brought on another client called CK.
Nice.
And then from there, you know, the roster of people we're managing just grew.
Yeah, I saw there is in sports, which is very interesting. Like, I was like...
Yes,
like,
yeah. So we branched into sports. So with sports... the guy who heads up our sports is Asa's best friend as well.
Oh, wow. This is interesting.
His name is Larry Vigo. He heads up our sports department.
Nice, nice.
So, yeah, we manage Asisat Toshola, who's the biggest female footballer.
Yeah.
We manage Toby Amuson, who's the fastest female in the world right now, currently. She was world record champion. We manage Henry Ikuru.
Nice.
Yeah, we managed a few other people.
Yeah, so let's talk about like challenges. If you could share, like, because like this is the podcast about like creative processes and how like Africans are doing very interesting things in the space. I was very curious about like how, when you and Asa started, some challenges that you sort of faced, and like if you could share a story or two where you sort of navigated and how you overcame like the challenge.
Okay, so like I said to you, some challenges we faced in the beginning was us, like, you know, spending money from the company account, thinking it was our money.
Yes.
Not forgetting that it was money to run the business.
Yeah.
You know, and when we realized that, you know, we spoke to people, we spoke to financial advisors, we spoke to people who have been in business longer than us, and they advised us, they helped us get, you know, an auditor, they helped us get a proper accountant to account our books.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, it was just... It wasn't easy, only 100% easy, but, you know, we made mistakes that we now realize that we had to go ask people for help, you know.
Yeah.
We knew that we couldn't do it on our own.
Yeah.
You know, most times, a lot of young people, when you set up a business, you feel like you can do it on your own.
Yeah.
And then you go ask people, and then they tell you that, oh, you made this mistake, you made that mistake.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm grateful that we made a lot of those mistakes because this is what has shaped us now.
Yeah.
And like I also said as well, so in the beginning, we hired a lot of our young, fresh graduates and our friends who we felt like, oh, let's build with them.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I guess we made a mistake where we should have hired people who were qualified than just hiring people who we felt like we could, you know, grow with.
That's very interesting. That's actually very curious because it has happened to me before in like previous business where it was all my friends and then like it just went south immediately after that.
Exactly.
And I can relate to that story. I'm also wanted to know, where did the Plug get its global mindset? Why I ask this is because a lot of businesses...
For us, our intention was always global from start.
Nice.
Because... So I'll say big shout out to Brian Biggs,
okay,
Jay-Z's cousin. His name is Beehive.
Uh-huh.
He was the one that actually made us name our company The Plug.
Ah, nice.
Because, you know, me and Asa, 2016, we were in his office, the Rock Nation office in New York. And it was like, yo, you guys know so many people in the industry back in Africa, in America, and in England. Like, you guys are The Plug.
Nice.
You guys need to stop working for people and set up your own company and bridge that gap.
Nice.
You know, and, you know, for us, it's like look, they say, look at Rock Nation. You guys could be the Rock Nation of Africa.
Nice.
And then for us, we just went with it and said, look, that's definitely the plan. This is where we're going. This is what we need to be. This is what we're going to do to get to this level.
Yeah, nice.
And that's where... You know, so from day one, we're very at the global mindset.
That's very interesting because, like, I'm asking, like, a lot of, like, African businesses seem to, like, if they win in their, like, capital city or where they're born, they tend to, like almost, like, as long as I'm the king in my pond, I'm good. And, like, there's never an attitude of, like, we can hit another.
I mean, to be honest, like in life, everyone is different. Yeah. That's why you see a lot of people you grew up with from high school. You see some people who are already billionaires, and you see some people who are millionaires, and you see some people who are just comfortable having enough to eat and where to sleep. Yeah. So everyone is different in life. Everyone's like goals and aspirations are very different. True. That's why I say some people just want to be that household name in Lagos or that household name in Nigeria. Yeah. And that's fine with that. There's nothing absolutely wrong with that.
Yes, for sure.
You know, but for me, I feel like I can, the sky is very big and like there's so much to be achieved globally. Yeah. You know, so for me, it's like, why keep my knowledge to just my country or my city where I can share with the world?
Mm.
You know?
Do you think also growing up, like studying in England also helped like inspire like some of these ideas with you and Asa, like where you just like, because you had seen the world a bit, you sort of kind of go...
I mean, 100%. I'll say growing up in England exposed me to a lot of things, bro.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that's why. I have friends who never left Nigeria, but have set up companies in Nigeria, and their companies are global companies.
Yeah.
So for me, it's not really about that. It's just about, I think it's more of a Nigerian mindset.
Okay.
Nigerians are people who
move,
feel like we can dominate the world.
Yes. Yeah.
So if there's, I tell everybody, there's nowhere in this world where you go, where you see, when you find a Nigerian. They said in London, they said in London, one in every 10 black people is Nigerian. Oh,
that's nice. You know,
it's like for me.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a thing where Nigerians, like, well, people will feel like we can dominate the world.
Nice.
Come on, it's a country of 250 million people.
Yeah.
And that's just from the last census. I'm sure there's more.
Could be 300 million.
So it's like, we're everywhere.
Yeah.
And for us, it's more of a thing of where, how do we get that global takeover? How do we get that global dominance?
Yeah, nice.
That's always what it is for us.
Yeah, you know, there's that funny saying that Vusi one time said that if you go to a place and there's no Nigerian, there's nothing to do in that place.
100%.
Yeah, so it's quite cool that like Nigeria is sort of doing a thing, which I find very inspiring. I feel like I wish the continent just follow suit, like just like join the energy.
I hope so.
And just like just champion. Oh, we should just all shift, you know, pick up some of the energy. Yeah. And so like, let's talk about like entertainment and like the current state of things, but like how the plug, I see you guys do some very interesting things with the technologies and the times. You seem to be very ahead of the curve in terms of innovating and doing some very interesting things. But I wanted to know how you guys think about like the tools, the technologies and the space and how Africa can really leverage it to give itself like an edge, especially.
I think, to be honest, what it is like, right now, for me, it's like, the future is changing.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of young, creative minds who work with us. We're constantly thinking of ways to, you know, take over. We're constantly thinking of ways to be relevant across Africa.
Yeah.
Because, and from all our, like, a lot of our artists, Davido, Victoria, CK, they're all signed to international labels.
Yeah.
So we hear these conversations with the labels and what they're planning.
Yeah.
So if we don't adapt to what they're planning and try and adapt it to our system here in Nigeria, we'll just realize that these guys will come and take over from us and then we won't have a chance to do anything.
Okay, that's very interesting. So you're just doing this to sort of stay ahead of the curve because I guess the other fish are waiting. And if we sleep on it, they'll just come and take.
Exactly.
That's cool. I wanted to know about sports. Why sports? Like, that's a very interesting space to be in because...
I mean, for so Asa's best friend, Larry.
Yes, you mentioned that.
Like, who heads up our sports.
Yeah.
He's always been a sports guy. And he reached out to me and Asa saying, look, guys, I want to start a sports agency.
Nice.
And you know, how can you guys help me promote it and get? And we said to him, sports is something that's in our business plan.
Yeah.
We'd love to bring you on board, you know, to head up our sports department if you're interested.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll be willing to give you some equity in the business.
Yeah.
And it was like, why not? You guys already have an established name.
Yeah.
Why set up a new business?
Yeah.
I'll come in, running a company, get some equity, and then we grow from there.
Nice.
It made a lot of sense to him, to us, and you know, we're here today with sports. Right now, I think we're currently, you know, managing some of the top talents across Africa in the sports field, which is amazing.
And I commend you guys, because like I feel like in the sports arena, we need more agencies to sort of represent artists, because sometimes
100%.
Sometimes so many 100%, athletes
like,
leave.
I feel like, you know, exactly. And part of the reason why we did that is because a lot of African athletes or talents, they don't have proper representation.
Yes.
So they go abroad and then they get exploited by the people abroad.
Yeah.
So right now, if a lot of them see, okay, oh wow, we have great African agencies doing things for us, they'll think twice before they sign those deals with those international agents who take a lot of their money and give them peanuts.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, which is great stuff. I wanted to also find out about how you, as Bizzo, deal with failure. I'm very curious about like how you as a person just deal with failure.
With failure, I always see it as a lesson from God, because I'm a Muslim.
Yes, I realize
when things go south for me, I see it as the God telling me that it's not for me, or I see it as God punishing me for not, you know, for me not being on my game, You know, in life, we fall, a lot of us fall spiritually, and we fall on our dream because we feel like, oh, everything is going smooth.
Yeah.
I don't need to talk to God anymore.
Yeah.
Then when things start to go down, you talk to God.
Yeah.
So I feel sometimes failure for me, I always look at it as the way as God trying to bring me back to Him.
Okay.
To say to Him, I'm still the one in charge.
Yeah.
You know, don't get carried away.
Yeah.
So that's how I deal with failure.
Nice.
Once I see anything, I feel like I failed at something.
Yeah.
I go to God and I just pray for forgiveness, and I pray, for God to show me where I made the mistakes and how I can correct those mistakes.
Nice. So for it's like failure is almost like a lesson for you. Like it's just like, oh, there's something to learn here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nice. So just tell me about like the plug and what you guys are planning to do, and like some of the things you think maybe young creators, especially because my audience is literally young creators looking for permission. But I'm just curious about like how the journey of the plug and like the lessons learned, and what you think young creators on the continent can sort of learn from what you guys are doing.
I mean, our journey has been, you know, bumpy.
Yeah.
I won't say it's been smooth.
Yeah, I can
it's
imagine.
Been bumpy, but
yeah.
I'm very grateful that we're where we are today. Right now, currently, we have about 22 staff in office.
Nice.
And we have about another 20 contract staff who work with us on other things we do. So I feel like for us, we've learned a lot of lessons.
Yeah.
We're constantly developing daily.
Yeah.
And for us, you know, we look at talking to people, you know, in the international field to build stronger relationships with them.
Mm.
Because look, I'll tell you something. The reason why me, Asa, and Toby came together is partnership. We're not afraid of partnering with people.
Nice.
A lot of the guys we manage as well, we partner with other people to manage them, because I tell people, partnership is the new currency. Partnership is the future.
Nice.
You should be willing to partner with people and share money with people.
Yeah.
Because that way, things you get more access to more things on your table. And for me, if I say young creative across Africa trying to, you know, set up businesses and do things, be very open to partnerships.
Okay.
Be, you know, always think out of the box and try and find people who can mentor you to help you, you know, grow. And, you know, for us at the plug right now, it's like our next step for us is we're trying to raise money to expand our business across Africa.
Nice.
And, you know, we're currently speaking with investors and, you know, to see how we can go from
that's
there.
That's nice. That'd be great.
But I feel like that's the next phase, you know, for us. It's like we've built, SMI built this from scratch with all our savings, you know, and now it's time for us to be able to go get money from outside to be able to do better with, you know, and bigger with the company.
And I agree with you on the idea of partnership. For a while, I've been thinking that, like, on the continent, we need to do more like profit sharing. You mentioned the equity thing with Larry and those kind of things. I think that's how the business of creativity needs to run on the country.
Exactly. That's how it will go.
Yeah. But if you kind of come with like a Western energy kind of business model, it may be really tricky to grow. Whereas like hey, pay me for my thing, as compared to like, let me partner with you.
Exactly. Like a lot of people on the continent are always more about pay me for my thing. Yeah. And even with my staff in the office, I always say to them that they need to kind of like think out the box. It shouldn't just always be about collecting a salary, but also think of what value you can bring to be able to get some equity out of what you're doing.
Yeah. So like basically your employees become like founders. They have a founder mentality. They're just like,
exactly,
just like walking in and saying like, how do I add to the plug? How do I get better with the plug? Which is exactly. Amazing. But I agree with you, like the equity profit sharing thing is something we need to like evangelize and tell people, hey, we should stop trying to
fully understand and get it.
Yeah. So I think like I just wanted to like usually end the podcast by asking my guests two questions. One life lesson that you think you've learned as Bizzo in all the things that you think people can take from this short conversation we've had, but like just like something they like, can take in life. And then the second question would be like a goal that you have as a creative individual that you'd like to see happen on the continent.
Okay, for me, I'll say one life lesson I've learned is like in business, you know, there should be proper communication with your business partner or even with your staff or your boss. Yeah. Communication changes and fixes a lot of things. Yeah. Like if you communicate properly, I feel like if there was proper communication in the world, there will be less evil, there will be less wars. Yeah. Problem is about it that a lot of times miscommunication. Somebody says something that they're not supposed to say, or somebody says something in a way they're not supposed to say it. And then the other person doesn't like it, and it causes an argument, and it causes some sort of rift, you know. Yeah. So communication is very important. People need to learn how to communicate properly with their business partners, with their friends, with their partners in general. Yeah. And then one thing I'd love to definitely see on the continent is in the next 2 years, I'd love to see a lot more collaborations on the continent between people from east, north, east, west, south. Yeah. I'd love to see more, you know, like I'd love to see artists from north, east, west, south come to Nigeria, sell out stadiums. The same way Nigerian artists go to other countries to sell out stadiums. Nice. I'd love to see more, you know, development in the entertainment space. Yeah. Because I feel like right now, the entertainment space is still new. Yeah. It's fairly new.
It is.
A lot of people don't understand music business. You see a lot of contracts that artists or even creatives across the continent are signing, and you feel so bad for them because it's like slavery.
Yeah.
But when more people start to, you know, understand the business more and realize that there's so much more that can happen, they will stop, you know, accepting peanuts just because they want to be in the space.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much for being a guest. It was an honor to get you. Thanks to Andrew for connecting me.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the episode. I hope you enjoyed it and were inspired to go out there and do something amazing. Follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Twitter at The Creative Asylum. And if you want to support us and the things we're trying to do here, check out our Patreon for all the behind-the-scenes access, all the crazy things we want to give you. Stay awesome, stay creative. Peace.